Brother Kushner, if you can make any sense of this mess, we will give the service to you.
Thank you. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 47 if you have your Bibles tonight. Ezekiel chapter 47. Glad to be here this evening.
Amen.
Be in church.
Yeah.
The Lord is good. I talked to my dad coming over here. I said, "Dad, I'm going to preach tonight." He says, "What are you doing?" He asked me a little bit about it, and I said, "You got a sermon for me?" He teaches. He's 90. He'll be 91 in April. He teaches Senior Saints Sunday School class.
Amen.
I said, "You got a sermon for me?" He said, "Jesus saves."
Amen.
Said, well, you can't beat that one.
No.
Jesus saves. Let's see if I have a sermon here. Now here it is. Okay, good. And don't you just love the Bible, the Word of God?
Sure.
The Bible is just wonderful. You know, the Bible has no limits.
Right.
It's no. Think about the Bible. Think Jesus said that He is the Word.
Right.
Jesus is unlimited. The Bible has no. The culture doesn't sure. limit the Bible.
Right.
Language doesn't limit the Bible. It's places that try to take the Bible and shut it out, the Bible gets there. I was thinking about this just driving over. I says, you know, you think about the Bible. I was in India, and I was preaching to about 300 or 400. They were public school kids. They lined them up, kindergarten, first, second, third, fourth, fifth, all the way up through little to old. Over in India, you get out the Bible and you preach the Word of God.
Yeah,
it's just unlimited.
Yeah,
and nothing holds it back. It's just incredible, the Word of God, that we have it today.
Yeah,
we actually have the Word of God. Exodus, or Ezekiel chapter 47 is the story we're going to look at tonight. If you read, I was reading a while back 46, and during 46 it has a lot of instructions. It tells the offerings and the priest and what's going to happen and so forth. And I'm just going to give you this couple of verses, and turn back to 46, a couple of verses to start with, just to kind of show you how great the Bible is. It's Ezekiel 46, verse number 8. "And when the prince shall enter," he shall go in, talking about the temple there, which shall go by the way, the tabernacle area, "go by the porch of the gate, that he shall go forth by the way thereof. But when the people of the land shall come before the Lord in the solemn feast, he that entereth in by the way of the north gate to worship shall go out by the way of the south gate." Watch this. "And he that entereth by the way of the south gate shall go forth by the way of the north gate. He shall not return by the way of the gate whereby he came in, but shall go forth over against it." I don't think God was just trying to do traffic control here.
No.
I don't think God was saying, "All right, everybody line up here. Here's your cones. Go in and go out over here." All right. I don't think it was traffic. I think this was a reason.
Yes.
And I think we should read the Bible as it's a reason. All scripture is given by inspiration, and it's profitable. Amen? And I think the point was this. This is just an introduction, or a little extra. I think the point is this. When you come to the presence of God, to meet God, you come in one way, and you leave another.
Absolutely, yeah.
I think when we come to the presence of God, the Word of God,
yeah.
our prayer closet, the church, we ought to come in different than we came. We ought to leave different than we came in.
Yes, sir.
We ought to expect to leave different.
Yeah.
We ought to expect God. When you pick up your Bible, you ought to expect God to do something
right.
to change you, to leave different than when you picked it up.
Right.
I think when you go in the prayer closet, you ought to expect God to do something. I think tonight I ought to expect God to do something in my life that I will leave different than I came.
Amen.
God is a working God.
Yeah.
You say, "Oh, Pastor, I went to church and I didn't get anything." It wasn't God's fault. I'll tell you that right now. Amen. Because
right.
He's a working God. He does a lot of stuff. And He'll work with you. He'll do great things with you.
Yes.
And anyway, the message starts in 47. Look at 47, verse number 1. Now notice this story. This is really amazing, I think. "Afterward, he brought me again to the door of the house." So he brought him to the door of the house, and behold, waters. Now, if you came home to your house, and out of your front door, there was water coming out from underneath the door, you'd say, "We have a problem."
Yeah. Yeah.
We have a major problem here. This is not good.
Right.
But God here was trying to teach them a lesson and something that's very valuable. And let's see what God has for us. "The waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward, for the forefront of the house stood toward the east. And the waters came down from under the right side of the house and to at the south side of the altar. So here you have the door entering into the house, the presence of God, that area. And when you come up to the door, there's water that's coming out under the door. It's coming out. Now, when you think of water in the Bible, usually you think of a couple different things. Number one, you think of the Bible, the Word of God. And another thing you think of is the Holy Spirit. Take your Bibles very quickly. Turn to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. Hold your place in Ezekiel. John chapter 7, verse number 37. Watch what it says. John 7, 37. The Bible says this as we read. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Here it speaks of the Holy Spirit in John. I think in Ezekiel chapter 47, I think the water, the reason for the lesson and the illustration, the example here from God, is that God is showing the work of the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God coming out from that area, that temple, that meeting place with God, and coming out from underneath that door. Now, look at verse number 2, chapter 47, verse number 2. "Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate." He started to take a walk. He started to go out to the utter gate by the way which looketh eastward, the eastward gate. "And behold, there ran out waters on the right side." Now, this is not only a situation where if you walk up to the house, there's water coming out from underneath the door. That's bad. But if you walk up there, you'll see it. In this case, he started to take off and walk, and he went to the utter gate, or the east utter gate, the east gate. When he went to the east gate, the water was still running. So get the picture? You see what's happening here? The water is coming out, and it's just keeping on flowing. All right? And I think this is a picture of the Holy Spirit of God, God working, God's power, God's presence, and it just kept on running. It just kept on going. Look at verse number 3 now. "And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits." So he said, "All right, I want you to go and keep walking." And here was a man, and he had some kind of measuring stick, and he walked out 1,000 cubits. Now, that's about 1,500 feet, we think. If you think it's a little more, a little less, go with what you think. It's somewhere around there. It's 1,000 cubits, okay? Maybe a third of a mile, something like that. "He brought me through the waters." Look what he did. He brought him through the waters. He brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. I love that. He said, "All right, take a walk. Let's go." And he went and measured 1,500 feet, a third of a mile. The water was still running. Now, if you got water coming out of your house, out of your door, that's a problem. If it's still running a third of a mile down the road, you really got a problem.
Yeah.
In this case, it was the power of God that God was showing, God working. And he said, "This is what I want you to do." I love this. He says, "Walk through the water. Check it out."
Yes.
"See how deep it is. Find out for yourself." You know, it's a good thing. And I love, getting what others have done for God. Psalm says, our fathers have told us. And it's good to hear what God has done in the past. And it's good to hear what your mom and dad has done, or your grandpa and grandpa's done, what the church did beforehand, and what happened someplace else, what somebody else did. It's really wonderful to see. But what he's saying here in this passage is, you walk through the waters. Check it out yourself.
Yeah.
I think this is true. I think that every one of us, we need to check out. We need to walk through the power and the presence of God.
Yeah.
So I'm glad to be in church. I'm glad to hear the music. You sing it. You make it real.
Right. Yeah.
I'm glad that I can hear the Bible, and that's wonderful, but you make it real.
Yes, sir.
Walk through it.
Sir.
Oh, it's wonderful to see how the pastor has come up here and how God has led the pastor. It's such a wonder. When I was a kid, When I was a kid, elementary school, I had a Sunday school teacher, and the teacher, we were in a small church, we were in the basement back by the furnace, and a little boy Sunday school class, and this teacher said this. He said, I know I'm in the will of God. I thought, he doesn't know that. He can't know. The preacher knows it, but he doesn't. Because all he does is tear down telephone poles. He can't tell me that's the will of God for his life. I'm just a kid. I don't know anything about nothing. But he said that. I still remember it today. And it's wonderful when the pastor gets up here and says, this meeting was prepared and planned by God. We didn't plan it. We didn't do this. It was something that God orchestrated, and God put it on our heart, and God did this, and God did that, and every step of the way. And that's wonderful to hear it from the preacher. But what about you?
Right.
What about you as a father? What about you as a man? What about you as a woman? What about you as a teenager? Hey, teenager, you need to know the will of God. I love what he says about the will of God. The Bible says, Jesus said, I am the way. You want to know the way? Know Jesus, because right. He is the way.
Right.
Amen?
Oh,
you know Jesus, you got the way. You don't have Jesus, you don't have the way. Amen?
Right.
Hey, my point is this. He said, you walk through the water. Check it out. See how deep it is. And he walked through the water. Ankle deep water. Amen?
Yeah.
You know, tonight, it's just good to walk through the water.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, check it out. You know what I love to do? Somebody asked Tom Malone, preacher from years ago, what is your Bible reading? Like a college student, you know, his notes. What is your Bible reading schedule? Tom Malone, in a very gruff voice. I just read until my heart burns. You can't beat that one.
No.
Wouldn't it be good if you picked up the Bible and you read it till God just did something to you?
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, he gave you something from God.
Yeah.
You knew it was from God.
Yes, sir.
Amen? He said he walked through the water. And when he did, it was up to his ankles. 1,000 cubits, 1,500 feet. Now watch this, 1,500 feet. He said, you go through the water, walk through the water. And he measured it. Maybe what, a few inches, 4 inches, 5 inches, something like that. 3 inches, a third of a mile out. This wasn't a trickle. This just kept flowing. Now, look at verse number 4. Let's keep moving here. Again, he measured 1,000. So he went another 1,500 feet. That is over a half a mile. If you got a leak in your basement and it's going a half a mile, you really got a problem. Amen? But if you did have a leak and it was coming out your front door, it wouldn't go a half a mile. It would be gone by then. This water is not gone.
Right.
This water is not gone. This water isn't a little bit less. This water isn't almost gone. This water isn't a little bit more. This water is a lot more.
Yeah.
It's a lot more. You say, Pastor, what should I do? Keep walking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Keep walking. And say, Pastor, I went to Sunday school when I was a kid. Keep walking. Pastor, I sang in the choir, the children's choir, when I was a kid. What should I do? Keep walking.
Keep walking.
I was a teenager, and I did that, and I came, and I helped, and I volunteered for this. What do you do? Keep walking. I used to come to church. I used to come Sunday night. I used to come Wednesday night. I used to teach Sunday school. I used to teach this. I used to that. What do you do? Keep walking.
Amen.
You know the problem what we do today is we just let the devil tell us what to do.
Right. Right.
The devil sits here and says, you don't go to church tonight. You say, no way, I don't want to go to church. You're right. It's Saturday, man. Well, I don't know who goes to church on Saturday. Man, I got my lazy boy. Right?
Yeah.
That's Sunday morning. Well, I went last night. Isn't that good enough?
Come on.
We listen to the devil. We do what the devil tells us to do. You can't. You don't want to read your Bible. You can't understand it. No, I can't. It's got these. I can't. No way. I don't want to. We listen to the devil. What do? Keep walking. I know that's not a deep thing, but you know when Elisha talked to Elijah and said, I want to get a double portion. You know what Elijah said? Keep walking.
Yeah.
If you're with me, when I go up, you'll have it.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
And you know, the truth of the matter is tonight, you just keep walking. You know who God uses? The person that shows up and keeps walking.
Yeah.
You know who God blesses? The person that shows up. You say, Pastor, I wish I could. I wish I could know the Bible like so-and-so knows the Bible. You can if you keep walking.
Yeah. Amen.
That's how you don't learn it. Just keep going. And you just keep walking.
Yeah.
God will do something in your life.
Amen.
It's amazing what God can do.
Yes, sir.
Good. Ezekiel 47:4. It says, again, he measured 2,000 and brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the knees. Now, I mean, I don't know if my legs are just like this guy's legs, but you go to the ankle, 3 or 4 feet, 4 inches, now you got the knee. That's not just like that much more. That's not double. That's like, what, 3 or 4 times. You got water running this deep, now you got it running this deep.
Yeah.
This water is getting serious. This water is picking up. Something's happened here. Amen?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
And I'll tell you something tonight. I'm so glad the power of God is not based on what the news media says.
That's right. Amen.
What?
Amen.
Oh, did you hear the news? It's horrible out there. During COVID, I didn't listen to anything anybody said because I didn't like listening to lies. And I didn't think as a pastor it would help me be a good pastor to preach if I was listening to lies all day long and I just shut it off.
Yeah, amen.
I'm not telling you what you should do. Not at all. But I'm telling you what, you know, I'm glad the news media doesn't tell us what God's doing. I'm glad that the government doesn't tell us what God's doing. I'm glad that the power of God is not based on what some politician says, some news person says. I'm glad it's not based on what some religious person says.
Right.
Amen. And all the time, I'm telling you, you can look back, there's always been, the devil has had a counterfeit all the time.
All the time.
There's always been that way.
Yep.
And the worst counterfeit is the counterfeit that looks good and sounds good.
Yep.
It's always that way.
Yep.
You know, and I'm glad that the power of God is, you know, we don't have to look at what the world does. We don't have to look at what religion does. We don't have to look at what the news media says. We don't have to look at what the politicians say. Just keep walking. Amen?
Yeah.
Just keep going. Pick it up. Read it.
Good.
Preach it.
Good.
Teach it. Tell it. Pray. Be in your spot.
Right.
Be where you're supposed to be.
Right.
You probably have it here. We have in our church. There are certain assigned seats. They're not assigned, but they are assigned. Amen?
Yeah, yeah.
I like that. Where's so-and-so? That's where he usually is.
Yeah.
I said to a guy one time, you know, would you ever want to sing in the choir? Well, you know, I thought about it. But, you know, if I sing in the choir, I think people might expect me to come and practice. And if I sing in the choir, people might want to expect me to come and sing on Sunday. I said, yeah, that's kind of the point.
Yeah, that's how it works.
That's kind of the way it goes.
Yeah.
Hey, man. Just keep walking. Now it's over a half a mile, and now it's up to the knees.
Yeah.
You know, the power of God does great things.
Oh, yeah.
Does amazing things. Now the water is deep. Getting deep. The power of the Spirit of God, how far does it run? How much does it run? How much does it do? It's not limited by God. It's limited by us.
Correct.
He did not do anything. Many mighty works are because of their unbelief.
Yeah.
What you and I need to do is don't stop the power of God. Don't tell God what God can't do.
Right.
Somebody says, well, you know, I don't know how to sing. God already knows that.
Yeah.
I can't speak in front of somebody. God in heaven doesn't say, really?
Oh, man.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Forgive me.
You're right.
I should never ask. But God knows what you can't do. I told God that. I'm preaching to me tonight. When I was a kid, I was ready to go to college. I said, well, God, I'm going to college if you want me to, but.
Yeah.
I want to remind him, just so we're on the same page, right? I said, I can never pastor, I can never teach. Ever since I've been out of college, I've made a living either pastoring or teaching. Amen.
Yeah.
God knew that already. It wasn't a surprise to him.
Right.
God knows what you can't do.
Right.
But he's ordained you. He's chosen you. He says, I want you. You know, somebody says, well, I don't feel called. You don't have to be called. God already picked you. Amen. I learned something. I went to the first church assistant pastor, walked in, had the first service. I was sitting there, had the service. Everybody left, came back a little early for the second service, looked in the aisle, and saw the aisle was dirty. I picked up a vacuum sweeper. I learned something. If you pick up a vacuum sweeper, you own it.
That's exactly right.
That was mine.
Yeah.
I wasn't there for a few hours, and I had a job already.
Yeah.
And I owned the vacuum sweeper. Amen?
Yeah.
I said, Pastor, I don't know what to do. You just look in front of you and do it, you'll get a job.
Yes.
You'll get a job. God has a place. A church is a body and has many members. And every member is important, the Bible says.
Right.
And just because you can't do what some other guy can't do, and this guy can't do this, and this guy's better than this, and this guy does this, doesn't mean you don't have a spot.
Right.
Amen. Get in. Keep walking. Keep going. How long do the promises of God last? Are they lasting for the prophet? Do they last for your grandfather? Do they last for the last guy? Or do they last for you? How long? Where's the point where God says, all right, too far, no promises after that. We're done with promises, not going to do it anymore. No, he's a promise-making God, and he'll do it to you today. When will the answered prayers, how long will they last? When will the grace of God, how long will the grace of God last? How long will the mercy of God last? How long will the forgiveness of God? How long will the righteousness of God last? When is it going to stop? When is God going to quit?
Come on.
The water just keeps flowing.
Keep flowing.
It just keeps going. Keep on going on in your life. Now, let me just say this. I can preach it and it sounds good, but it's not always easy to live it. You say, but Pastor, preacher, you say, you don't understand where I am. And I don't. I'm not in your shoes. You're not in my shoes. But the grace of God will go with you wherever you are.
Amen.
Amen.
And the farther you go, it just seems like the deeper it gets. I'm telling you, it's true.
Yeah.
The grace of God just seems to get stronger and more real and more personal.
Yes, sir.
And more right for me. It's mine. God gave it to me. And when is it going to stop? The water just keeps going. Just keep on walking. Then it says again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, were to the loins. Now you got a problem.
Yeah.
Because now you're walking in water. And you know, it gets a little more difficult because the water's taking over.
Yeah.
Amen? Now you can't just run through the water. Now the water's taking you where the water wants you to go. You got it? The stream, the water's running. And you're in the middle of running water. And it's more than ankle deep. And now the water's, I think that's what it means when it says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled or controlled or consumed, whatever the word, filled with the Spirit of God. And this is the point where now it's not just you walking, now it's God taking you.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Oh.
Have you been there? Isn't it good when God's just right there?
Oh, yeah.
And you can't really, you can't fight him, because if you do, you just get wore out. And you can't really make it. But God will just pick you up and just push you along.
Oh, yeah, preacher.
You know what I'm talking about?
I do.
Can't explain it. Something you just can't put a finger on. It's nothing you can explain. If you try to tell somebody, God was real. I mean, I felt him. Somebody's going to say, well, you don't know my feelings. You can't do that. And somebody's going to tell you, you know, they're not going to do that. It's not, nobody's going to understand you. Do you understand that?
I do.
Yeah. But you know. You know. Because it's God in you. Amen. Almost a mile from the house of God. And the water's running. And now the water is up to the loins. You can go canoeing in this water.
Yeah.
It's getting bigger. It's getting bigger and bigger. And the devil wants to try to make us believe that if you go to church, you're losing out. If you waste your time in the Bible, you're losing out. If you give your life to Jesus, and you tell Jesus that he has control of you, you yield to him, and that he has control of your life, you will live miserable. You'll never have what you want. You'll never have happiness. You'll never have joy. God is going to take you someplace you don't want to go to live in a miserable situation, marry somebody that you don't want to marry, live where you don't want to live, and do what you don't want to do, and you'll be miserable the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And the devil tries to tell us that.
Yeah.
That's the devil.
And the devil's not here to write ever. Never will. He's going to try to convince you that the Bible isn't real. Serving God is a waste of time.
Yes, sir.
Love is of the lust and the fulfillment of the world. Forgiveness is for losers. Giving your life to others or God is a waste. But I'll tell you something. The water gets deeper and deeper. Turn over to Matthew chapter 7, verse number 7, if you would. These are good verses. Matthew 7, 7, and watch. Ask, and it should be given you. You know, there's always somebody that's going to try to figure out why God can't do what God says he's going to do.
Well, that doesn't really what he means.
Okay, well, just follow along a little bit before you get to. Ask should be given you. Seek. Sometimes asking isn't really going to get you where you want, so you have to seek for it. You shall find. And sometimes you have to seek. Sometimes. Even seeking. Sometimes you have to go knocking for it. Knock, it should be open to you. And there's always going to be somebody that's going to tell you why God won't do what God promised. Well, it doesn't work that way. Well, it's not really true. Yeah, but. So God knew that. He says, everyone that asketh receiveth, he that seeketh findeth, to him that knocketh shall be open. Or what man is there of you whom if a son has bread will he give him stone? If he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? I love that. How much more shall your Father which is in heaven give you good things of them that would ask of him? Somebody says, well, you know, that's fine, it's good, you know, and I know the preacher prays, and sometimes God answers his prayer, but God never answers my prayer. So here are you, and you say that God doesn't answer prayer, and here is God, and God says, ask, and you shall receive. Okay, yeah. Who are you going to believe?
Yeah, come on.
I know God answers prayer.
Amen.
You know why I know it? Because he said it.
Yeah.
I don't know it because I get everything I want, because I'm not smart. I'm not God. But I know that when I ask, I know God will answer.
Yes.
Yeah. He'll do it. Because he promises. He doesn't ignore you.
Yeah.
It's not like that guy that ignores your texts. Your cell phone calls and won't answer. God will, and God will give you what is best and right. God will give me, here's God, and God knows what I need, and God has a hand that's huge. Here's me, I have no clue what I need, and my hand is small. And I'm going to sit here and say, I don't want what God wants. God don't answer my prayers. I want what I want. I'm losing out big time. We understand God answers prayer. He will answer your prayer. What is on your plate right now? What do you got? Walk through it. Seek God.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes you got to knock for it. And if you know how to give good things to your children, God even more, even more knows how to give good things to those who ask. I'll tell you something. The water is getting deep. God is working. You know what we need? I need God working in my life. You need God working in your life. I need God to work in our church. You need God to work in your church. You need God to work in this church. We need God.
Right.
And he has promised. He has promised to answer our prayers. He's promised to do it. If we ask or seek or knock, and he will give us what we need and what's best and right. The water is up to the loins. This is getting deep. The water's pushing him down the road. Exceedingly abundantly above, the Bible says.
Yeah.
Give and it should be given to you. Do you understand when the Bible says give and given, it says press down, running over, not shaking together, running over. You know, God doesn't owe you or me anything. God, you don't go to God and say, God, you cheated me. Look what I did. Look at what I did for you, God. I gave you my life. I moved to Maine from Iowa. I could be, you know, somebody says, well, if you weren't a preacher, what would you be doing? I'd be in Iowa on a farm with pigs. I'm glad to be in Maine. Amen? You ever had about 700-800 pigs? And you were the one doing the pigs? Never mind. Yeah. I'm just telling you this. God doesn't owe me or God doesn't owe you anything.
Right.
You and I cannot go to God and God says, you know, you're right. I really should. I messed up.
Yeah, go ahead.
I should have done better. I was just busy and, you know, my schedule got full and I just missed it. I'll try to do better next week. God doesn't have to give any explanation.
Not at all.
He doesn't have to give any explanation. He doesn't give any excuse. He doesn't have to do anything. God is gracious, and God gives us way more than we deserve. What you and I need to do is simply stop and thank Him.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Let's finish up. Let's see where we go here. Look at Ezekiel 47, verse number 5. Got a couple things here. After we measured 1,000, it was a river that could not pass over. It got so deep, you couldn't even go through it. For the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. He says the river is so big, you couldn't even go through it. You had to start swimming through it. Now that is swimming. That's a lot of water. And I don't believe I'm there. But you know what? The power and the presence of God and the blessings of God are so big, they're overwhelming sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's when it's good.
Yeah. Amen.
That's when it just comes from the inside out. And God, you say, you know, serving God's no fun. It's the funnest. It's the greatest thing in the world.
Yes, sir.
And God promises
sure
that.
Is.
Now, let me give you a couple things to finish. Let's go down here to a few more verses. Verse number 9. Watch this. Or verse number 7. Now when I had returned, behold, at the brink of the river were many trees on the one side and on the other. Then said he unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country and do get down to the desert and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come hither, for they shall be healed, and everything that shall live whither the river cometh. Now, we'll finish up with this. Not only did all this happen with the water coming out underneath the door, but now the water is so deep, you have to swim through it. But now the water is affecting the trees and the fish and everything around it.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a whole lot of problems going on here, and there needs to be a whole lot of healing. And the Bible says that when the water goes through, the water is going to give fruit for the trees. Watch this now. And healing for the fish. You say, Pastor, I need some fruit in my life. I need something right now. The Holy Spirit of God can bring that.
Yeah.
You say, Pastor, I need some healing. Are we there? I need some healing in my life. There's a whole lot of people trying to find healing in a whole lot of ways.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's sad to say that many times it goes the wrong direction. Even in churches.
Yep.
Even in pastors.
Sure.
Do you hear me tonight? The water healed the fish. Mm-hmm. And the healing that you need in your life, you need to stop. Put everything down, back up, sit down, and just come to God. And say, God, heal me. You promised to do it. Heal my heart. Don't worry about anybody else.
Right.
Don't look at anybody else. You look at you and God. And God can and will bring healing. Now that's a powerful message that God gave to the prophet.
Yeah.
Powerful message.
Where's the preacher? Go ahead, preacher.
Good preacher.